his ministry to us, and we ask that this meeting will be something of profit and benefit to each of us according to our needs. In Christ's name, amen. I had a great conversation with my youngest granddaughter, 9 years old. I spent a little more time now there, which she is delighted with. And we were at the table, a dinner table, and she got an extra bowl of soup and the rest left. And she asked me if I had to go, and I said, no, I'll stay here with you. And so we settled down, and she said, what should we talk about? Well, I said, why don't we talk about why the Lord allows earthquakes? Pretty viable subject, right? And, I said, well, it's the Lord doesn't want you to get settled down on this earth because it's like a sinking ocean liner. You got to get in a lifeboat. It's not going to last that long. We talked along about that, and she wanted to know how about getting into the lifeboat. And I said, well, you have to ask Christ to come into your life. And she said, did you ask Christ to come into your life? I said, sure, about 50 years ago. She said, I did 2 years ago, which was great, you know. And then she said, if I do bad things, will he leave me? Oh, great question. Great question. And I said, no, it's like your parents. You can do some things that aren't too cool, but they're not going to throw you out. No, the Lord will stay with you forever. Just a great opportunity to share with, and a great feeling of satisfaction in being able to say something like that rather than putting the screws on. You must always be very good or the Lord will batter you in the head or something. But I was at peace about it, and she was at peace. Being able to go about among the people and speak peace to them and comfort and consolation and strength is very, very important, very rewarding. And it's worked for me. I've been through the mill, you know. This is not an ivory tower thing. It is in keeping with the scripture, but it's been tested out by myself over many, many episodes of life, which I've had, you know, a great collection of catastrophic illnesses, including polio and diabetes and cancer and all the rest of them, and a couple of coronaries. So I've been through the mill on it, and I can speak to you from experience that the peace of Christ is there. And remember, I spoke about the eagle, and I think it's a marvelous analogy that the eagle flies by catching the currents with its great wings, and whatever happens, he keeps rising higher. And whatever happens in our lives, we pick up the currents and we keep rising. And you're here tonight. That's what the guarantee of it. So you've got Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I think that is extremely valid, viable. Tested it out. And you may say, well, I don't always feel great, and that doesn't make any difference whether you feel great or not. That's one of the sources of peace, too, to say that you're rising on your eagle's wings, even though you may be not feeling great. You may be singing the blues. Do you know that's a spiritual song? Not the jazz blues, but Ephesians 5. Because it's a tremendous statement about spiritual songs. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That doesn't mean holy songs. It doesn't mean religious songs. It means songs in the Spirit. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Your heart has its song. Your own song. And sometimes it's the blues. And if you weren't, if the Spirit weren't in you, you wouldn't be disappointed in the Lord, right? Why would you bother? The very Spirit of Christ in you is part of the reason for your disappointment sometimes. Like in relating to people, sometimes you're disappointed in people. Why are you disappointed? Because you care about them. If you're driving your car and you stop at a stop sign and somebody doesn't like something you did and they shout across to you and call you some name, do you care? No. Why? Because you don't have any, you don't care about them. They can say anything they want. They can call you a ring-tailed baboon and it's not going to make any difference. But you care about people, and that's why you're disappointed in them. And you have to carry that over to Christ, because our human feelings are not always that controllable. And when you're feeling down or disappointed or disillusioned or something, you have to understand that's your song. And Christ understands it. It's like the wail of the baby, you know. The baby has his songs. We don't always like that, but you can lie there and screech, I guess. But mother's ear is tuned to the baby's needs, wants, cries. She knows usually when he's just mad or when he's in need of something. It's a different kind of crying. But you realize that your cries to Christ are songs of the Spirit. And he knows your tears. Those are songs of the Spirit. Now, that passage is so continually applied to song services in church. The real songs are songs of the Spirit. I suppose you remember, Marvin, times when song leader says if you don't sing, you're going to have to stand up and sing a solo. Vocalizing our songs may be limiting the song, especially if your voice is kind of rocky. It's like playing great music. The quality of the music depends upon the instrument you're playing through. You know, you go to a concert where you have a live concert, and no matter how great your equipment is, it's going to beggar the reality. I have some pretty good equipment now. I have a CD player that just really is a great thing, Panasonic. You put the CD on there, and it's great music, but not what it is at the concert hall. Yeah, I get enjoyment out of it. I don't say, well, I'm not going to play it because it isn't great. You can sing. People like to sing. But you don't have to sing out loud. You have your song in the Spirit. Now, a very vital point here, maybe the best thing you will hear tonight, the altar of incense in the tabernacle was a continual incense to God. And it was a type of the prayers of the saints in the church later. Now, how do I know that? Because I read the Bible. Revelation 5 speaks of angels with golden vials which are full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And from your spirit is wafted heavenward continual incense. And how you feel is as much a part of that prayer. You know, when you're disappointed, you're discouraged, or you're negative, all these things are still part of that incense. The Lord knows. He knows why you're disappointed. He embraces you in your disappointment, in your disillusionment, in your crying. That's part of your song. You understand? You can run around singing hallelujah and be totally phony. The same thing is true with praise. He says, also, giving thanks. And I won't go into technicality, but it's a participle there which ties it in with this other concept. Thanksgiving is a spirit thing and not necessarily vocalized. Now, when we teach our children, usually we want to have them say thank you, right? So, what do you say? You know, you have to coach them along. And please say thank you. The Lord doesn't really need that. It's nice to do it, but He knows what's in your heart. Understand this. Understand what makes up the incense in your own spirit that is wafted continually to God, and it may be made up of your disappointments and your blues as well as your rejoicing in your happiness. You see, He knows your song. And your song is a song of the Spirit. There's a movie out, isn't it, called Brian's Song? I don't know what it's about, but let's say you have your song made up of all that you are. You don't have to put on a front. You don't have to run around saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, people do that. They wear you out. You know, it just becomes a habit with them. You can say, oh, I just lost my job. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. They get into a habit of it. I call it, you can use this phrase if you want, religion intensive. A lot of people's relation to Christ is religion intensive. That means that they work very hard at trying to promote their religious experiences. And they do all the things that they think will further it along. But they can often be very phony. Now, understand this, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Spirit within. So a lot of the worship in the Old Testament was vocal, external. And sometimes they dip back into the Old Testament to get their grounds for worship. But New Testament worship is quite a different thing. And it's a uniting of the Spirit with the Spirit of God. But moreover, the unity of the believers is in the same vein. Our unity among one another is a spirit unity that goes as a flow beneath the surface, even though externally people get crossways with each other. The church does not always have harmony in it. You may have experienced some things that you might feel that this does not represent harmony, but the unity is inner. It's a spirit unity that ties it together, like a family. Your children are not always sweet to each other, right? Sometimes they get a little crossways with each other, and children are not always in harmony. On the other hand, they're a family, and there's a certain unity that goes beyond the outward externalizing of it. And people in churches get kind of miffed at each other or crossways and whatnot, but it's part of the human scene. And, you know, like I've always said to you, they're like a cosmic sandbox. People throwing sand at each other and dumping water and kicking down sandcastles and whatnot, all within the framework of a cosmic sandbox there. But Christ presides over that. All of this is the great concert of your identity with Christ and the identity of the church with Christ. We're just people. I've said that before. I don't want to labor it. We're just people. We make our mistakes. He isn't disappointed, because He knew it was going to be like this from the beginning. People just spend a lifetime trying to get a handle on their lives, and then some of them do and some of them don't. You know, I've dealt with a lot of people that never got a handle on certain factors in their lives, and they went to their grave with a problem. But still in the framework of the family of Christ, and we're talking about the essence of our life with Christ being a tie to the Spirit, or the new birth. That's what the new birth is all about. The bringing of the Spirit of Christ into our spirits, which ties us to Him eternally. We are partakers of the divine nature. And He has bought us the good with the bad. See what I'm saying? Like a marriage. What are the lines about that? I don't use them in my sermons, my weddings. Something like, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, Those are the lines, usually pretty phony, but when the worst comes along, they don't usually remember that part of the bargain. But anyway, be all as it may, it's a spirit unity that is based upon the energy of Christ flowing within us and has not to do with our human childish patterns of behavior. If we make mistakes, we pay for it. If you don't send your tax money in April, you're going to have to face the consequences. Understand? You make wrong moves and you pay the price. So I'm not saying you can do anything you want to. I'm just saying it's the tie to Christ in the Spirit, and even if you're going through some rather harrowing experiences, you're still part of His family. And your worship, believe me, this is so important. Your worship of Christ, your connection with Christ, may have in it the blues as well as the rejoicing. Your prayer of disappointment, your song of distress, is a song that you sing and nobody else can sing it. Nobody else knows that song. And you can go into the church service and you can sing some very nice melodies and nice songs, and that's all right. But you may be singing your own song inside. And someone may say, "What's the matter with you? Why aren't you singing?" Well, maybe I don't feel like singing out loud. I can only convey this reality of all that you are, including all of your past mistakes, your future potential, is part of your song, the song of the Spirit, that the Lord knows and no one else. And He hears that song. If you feel blue, not to worry, not to worry. Everybody wants to call and tell you to cheer up, like the fellow says it. People told me to cheer up, things could be worse. So I cheered up, and sure enough, things got worse. You don't have to believe me, my dear, dear friends and children in the Lord and so forth. You don't have to cheer up. You know that? If you want to, that's all right. It may do you some good. Get cheery. But you don't have to cheer up if you don't want to. Sing your song in your spirit, genuinely to Christ, and know that your prayers are wafted heavenward from your spirit, and you and He are in good understanding that He understands you. Nobody else does, but He does. You don't understand yourself. The patterns of your life, I've said over and over again, very intricate and impossible to sort out, but they make up the whole process of your prayers. They include your past as well as your present, but you don't have to articulate it. You are who you are. All the past events of your life, all the mistakes, all the negative feelings as well as the positive ones. Remember, to try to feel different is religion intensive. You want to be more religious, so you have to cheer up, feel better. Just be at peace with whoever and whatever you are each day. Be at peace about it. You feel the blues, be at peace about it. Peace of Christ that passes understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Well, I just wanted to share with you my own experiences of some disappointments. One after another, problems, all the rest of it. But the Spirit of Christ sustains you. But you don't have to go about cheerily. See? I feel it's so great to be able to go through this kind of experience see the proving out of what I've been saying to you, that I may feel a little more ebullient about it than some others. It's my ministry to you. It's a ministry of suffering. It's a gift of suffering. It's a suffering that makes it possible for me to relate to you in reality and know whereof I speak to you, not in the ivory tower. Well, I think I'd better stop there. Father, we thank you for moments together like this, deep, abiding, interactive. We ask that the Spirit will minister to each one here according to their need. In Christ's name, amen.